Church, that brings us to our third objective, sound biblical doctrine concerning salvation. Sound doctrine concerning salvation. The subtitle for tonight's message is Salvation is Not Cheap. Salvation is not cheap. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Church, we are pivoting again to a new doctrinal topic, salvation. Why are we moving into the study of salvation? Because salvation is the means by which a sinner is made a son. Salvation is the means by which a sinner is made a son. Salvation provides present benefits and future promises. It provides present benefits and future promises. But before we can delve into what those benefits and promises are, it is imperative that we understand what salvation is and how to receive it. We must understand what salvation is and how to receive it. Now, I would expect that most of us, when you heard me say we must understand what salvation is and how to receive it, I would expect that most of us would say, well, I know. I know, Pastor, what salvation is. And I definitely know how to receive it. But I would suggest to you on tonight that we don't understand salvation as well as we think. We don't understand it as well as we think. Yet, it is a doctrine of eternal consequences. So what is salvation? Let's define it. Salvation broadly means safety, deliverance, and preservation from danger or destruction. Salvation means safety, deliverance, preservation from danger or destruction. When a person receives salvation, several things happen. When a person receives salvation, he or she is delivered. They're delivered from the penalty and the power of sin. Delivered. When a person receives salvation, they are changed. They are changed. Made a new creature in Christ. When a person receives salvation, they are adopted. Adopted. They become a son of God. That's what we learned last week. Not only that, when a person receives salvation, they are engrafted. Engrafted into the body of Christ. And that's what we have been learning on Sundays. We are engrafted into the body of Christ. We have a place and a part to play in his body. And when a person receives salvation, they are given eternal life. Given eternal life. So let's go through those again. When a person receives salvation, he or she is delivered. They are delivered from the penalty and the power of sin. What does that mean? It means that they no longer are subject to God's wrath. That's the penalty of sin. But they are also delivered from the power of sin. When we receive salvation, we are given the ability to master sin in our life. We are given the ability to overcome sin when in the past sin overcame us. We are delivered. Then we are changed, new creatures in Christ. We are given a new heart and a new spirit, new desires, new affections. We are made new on the inside. We are adopted, made sons of God. And that means that daily we experience the Father's grace. As a son, we experience the Father's grace. God treats us as his child. We are adopted. We are engrafted, put into the body of Christ. And as we learn on Sunday, it is an indestructible body that Jesus is building up in the earth. And as a part of the body of Christ, I participate in the work of Christ in the earth. I have purpose. I have purpose to do that which has eternal value. And when I am saved, I am given eternal life. The moment that you are saved, you have eternal life. It's not something that you will eventually receive. You have it. So that if I close my eyes and take my last natural breath, I go from life to life. There is no interruption of life for me. That is salvation. And salvation is God's great desire for man. It's what he wants for us. So great is his desire that he designed his plan of salvation before the creation of the world. See, Paul said salvation was according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Salvation was not a plan B. Uh-oh, man sinned. Now let me figure out what to do. It was God's great desire for us. That's what salvation is. Now the question is, how do I receive such great salvation? How do I receive it? Now this is where our confidence rises up. Pastor, I know the answer. I know how we receive salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. We have to have faith. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So we must have faith. We must believe, and that's all it takes, Pastor. Well, yes, you're right. Salvation is a free gift. It's not of works. It is of grace. It is a gift that we don't deserve and could never earn. We cannot earn our way into heaven by doing good deeds. So salvation is a free gift. Salvation is what God graciously bestows on us when we have faith. Salvation is what God graciously bestows on us when we have faith. But here is where we go astray. When we consider salvation as Christians, whenever we consider salvation, we emphasize God's part, the free gifting, and we minimize our part, having faith. Whenever we talk about salvation, I'm talking about the modern Christian. When we consider salvation, we emphasize God's part, the free gifting, that it's all grace. It's grace, grace, grace. And we minimize our part, having faith. Because remember what I said, that salvation is what God graciously bestows on us when we have faith. But we don't think about the faith part. And if you ask the average Christian, what type of faith must you have in order to be saved? They'll look at you with a blank stare. Well, I don't know. You just have to believe. You just have to believe. And that's what we tell people when we witness to them. Well, you just have to believe. But what does that mean? Because we don't look at the importance of faith, it has caused us to make salvation something that is cheap and easy. It's just cheap and easy. Well, you know, just believe. Just say a prayer. You know, it doesn't really matter how you say it. I mean, just say, you know, just say a prayer and just believe, and that's it. You're saved. You're now born again. You're now a Christian. But church, we must reconsider our doctrine concerning salvation. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap or easy. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap or easy. There's a difference. See, yes, we are saved by grace through faith. We must have faith, but we need to make sure that we understand what saving faith is. What is saving faith? And to understand what saving faith is, we need to consult the author of salvation, Jesus Christ himself. Let's look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We're going to start reading at verse 22. Here Jesus was going about preaching, teaching, and healing. And opposition was ever present. Everywhere he turned, there was opposition. So let's pick up in verse 22. And it says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. This is a very interesting exchange. And this exchange begins with a question. Notice the question. It's a prideful and presumptuous question. Because the man does not say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? He's not asking about himself. He assumes that he has made it in. And he's speculating about others. So he says, Lord, are there few that be saved? Because the Jews at that time believed that very few would enter into heaven. And they took pride in that. So he says, Lord, are there few that be saved? Jesus responds to this theoretical question with a stern personal admonishment. He speaks to him personally, because the question was not, are there few who will be saved? The question that should have been asked is, will I be among the saved? So Jesus responds with personal admonishment. But in responding to the question, Jesus says something that should shock your Christian sensibility if you really pay attention. He says something here that ought to make us a little bit uneasy, because we talk about salvation and grace. But Jesus says, strive to enter in at the strait gate, For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in,